This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christian Crusaders extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's service will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
A personal relationship with God includes an intimate prayer life. We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you that you have told us that we could come freely into your presence. There we can confess our sins. There we confess also our dependence upon you. We thank you that it is free and that we can wrestle with you in prayer. We thank you that, as you mentioned in your word today, we should be persistent in our prayer life. So, Father, we ask that you will draw us closer to you, and that our prayer life may grow each day, be more intimate, less superficial, and talking to a Father who loves us so much that he sent his only Son, the Lord Jesus, to be our Savior. And it is in his name we pray. Amen. Friends in Christ, a personal relationship with God includes an intimate prayer life. In our text today, Jesus uses a story to emphasize that we are to be persistent in our prayer life. The opening verse in our text says, "The Lord Jesus told his disciples a parable that they should always pray and never give up." Now let me read you the story that he told. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps on bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him every day and every night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" That was the story that Jesus wanted his disciples to hear. It has to some extent been a confusing story to me, but I love it because it tells me that I need to be very persistent in my prayer life. Let's go back over the story again. There was a widow lady who felt that she was not being treated justly by her adversary. Maybe he owed her some money and he wasn't getting it to her, and she would go to the judge, and the judge would not do anything about it. The judge who is handling the case is described as a man who did not fear God or care about people. For some time, he did not take her case seriously, but she kept on pleading, coming to him, saying, "Grant me justice against my adversary." Finally, the judge decided that for his own sake, she would get justice to keep her from bothering him. And Jesus said, "Listen to what the unjust says. And will not God bring about justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that she gets justice and quickly." I believe there are some unanswered questions in this portion of Scripture, but the lesson is very clear. God is saying, keep praying. Don't give up. As I look into my own soul and observe the thoughts of others who pray the question continually surfaces. I prayed and I prayed, but nothing happened. So I quit praying. I still believe that Jesus is my Savior. I still go to church. But I wonder if he has turned in at least to my prayers. And so I stopped praying for a little while. This is not right. Now, because I have entertained similar thoughts, and I have been with people who have been very, very much disappointed in prayer, I think that it is good for us to really take a look at what some of the masters who interpreted the Scriptures throughout the centuries have to say about this Word of God. Here is one. His name is Matthew Henry, a great commentator, one of the greatest of the interpreters of God's Word, and it is still true what he writes today, for he is very, very relevant. Says Matthew Henry, "God's children meet with a great deal of trouble in this world. There are many adversaries that fight against them. Satan is their greatest adversary. What we pray for is that God will protect us. What is required of God's children if they are to obtain this victory? It is to cry out to God both day and night, not that he needs their cries, nor that he is moved by their pleadings, but he had made this their duty and to this he has promised mercy. In other words, God is just saying, I want you to keep coming back and back and back. And if you're not satisfied, come back some more. I hear you. I listen. I want you to be persistent in your prayer life. I will not necessarily give in to your pleading if it is contrary to the will of God, but I will listen to you. The Bible tells us that Jacob, one of the three major leaders of Israel of old, wrestled with God. You can read about this in Genesis 34. Isaiah, the great prophet of the day, writes this in Isaiah 62, verse 6. Give God no rest till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. God invites his children to wrestle with him in prayer. This is when prayer gets real. It is far more real than some of the superficial prayers we pray on a Sunday morning or any other day. It goes even deeper than some of the petitions that we think are really, really causing our hearts to be filled with concerns. Jesus wrestled with his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane just before the crucifixion. The account is recorded in the 26th chapter of Matthew. Paul wrestles with God about his health, which he called a thorn in the flesh. Three times Paul asked God to take this physical affliction away from him and to improve his health, because then he would have greater strength in bringing the gospel to the nations. This account is found in 2 Corinthians 12. You can read it there. Back in the Old Testament, King David wrestled with God in prayer that his child could be spared from death. We read about that in 2 Samuel chapter 11, beginning at verse 15. Now here is our Lord Jesus himself using his humanity. Here is St. Paul, the greatest of the apostles, and here is King David of the Old Testament lineage. They are all wrestling with God in prayer. Now, how did God answer these men? Well, let's go to Jesus first. You remember he was with his disciples in the upper room, had instituted the Lord's Supper, and now they were going down into Gethsemane. When they got into Gethsemane, he took James, John, and Peter and said, come with me into the inner garden. And there he went, and on his face he cried out, if it is possible, Father, let this cup be removed from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And he did that three times. Then God gave an answer. God answered him in a very special way. Paul was told he would keep the thorn of the flesh, but God's grace would be sufficient to give him strength to do the work Christ had commissioned him to do. David was told that the boy was going to die, but David could not go to where his child would be, but in eternity, David would go to him. It's interesting to notice how the specifics really work out in all three cases. Jesus knew that he had been sent into the world to suffer and die for humankind. Jesus knew what his mission was, but he pondered it and he was persistent in saying to the Father, clear it for me. And then it is that God says to Jesus, and this is a way of salvation for those of you who do not know how to get to heaven. God said to our Lord, you know, this is why I sent you. You are to take the sins of the world upon you. You are to suffer and to die on the cross as a payment for the sins of all people. And without that death, that sacrificial death, no one, now this is God speaking, no one is saved. And so Jesus comes out of that garden and he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one, No one comes to the Father but by me. Now, you can call that whatever you want to, but this is the way that God answered Jesus' persistent prayer. We don't know what that thorn in the flesh was that St. Paul had. Some say it was his eyes. Some say epilepsy. All kinds of diseases of the day where he lived. But whatever, Paul calls it a thorn in the flesh. And he says, don't you understand, God? I'm persistent. I'm going to keep on talking to you. Let me have my eyesight back, if it were the eyesight, so that I can see more clearly, and I will be a better servant of yours. Will you not let me have it? And what is it that God says to Paul? Paul, you're going to die with that affliction. Paul, there's no question that it is a thorn in the flesh, but I'm going to let you keep it. However, my grace will be sufficient for you. It reminds you that you can trust on my grace, that you will have the necessary strength, the power to move on with the gospel. That's the way he answered Paul. The persistency of David is an interesting affair, too. Remember that he had this baby out of wedlock with Bathsheba? It was sin from the very beginning. But when the child was born, then certainly David wanted to keep him. And then he became very ill. And so he wrestled with God persistently in prayer. But then when the day came that the boy died, God gave him the answer. David, I did not spare your son, but I will tell you this. He will never come back to you, but in eternity, you will go to him. Persistency in prayer. It brings forth answers. Sometimes right now, sometimes not until eternity, but God will answer. Let's see now if we can apply this teaching on prayer to where we live and wrestle with the hard things of life, for all of us have our difficult times and wonder where God is in these hours when our souls seem to be torn apart. A mother said to me one day she had been praying for her son that he would be converted and would receive Jesus Christ as his Savior. God's word says that the son has a will and he can deny Christ, and he seemed to be doing just that. But what does God say to her? Well, just write him off? No. Does he say that your prayers are not being heard? No. According to this text today, to that person and perhaps to any of you who might have an individual in your family or friends who you want to be saved and on outside of a living personal relationship with God through faith in Christ, keep praying. Wrestle with God. Find a way that perhaps the person can be approached with the gospel as never before. But then when you have done everything, persistent in prayer, leave it to God, realizing that you may never see the person's conversion, but this does not mean he will die in unbelief. I can share two of my own battles with God in my prayer life, and I don't want to bother you too much with them, but I want to identify with this woman in our text today. When my wife had a major stroke, I prayed that she would make a complete recovery. Notice the word complete. One day, her doctor, who happened to be a personal friend of mine, asked me how I was praying for Eunice. It was late at night when that doctor came by. And I said to him, well, I tell you, doctor, I told God that I really would like to have a complete healing. Now, that could be a healing that would come directly from him, or it could be one that he would use you and the other medical team who were assisting her. But I wanted a complete healing, and I was persistent. I liked her the way she was, and I wanted that back. The doctor looked at me with a smile and he said, "If I were you, I would not pray that way. Because it is entirely possible that if she comes back, even to live, she will live in a home for those who are badly impaired." Well, that was a conversation of two stumbling people who were very concerned about my wife. Eunice did come back, but she did not have a complete healing. She had a partial healing. We've had 12 great years since then. Her walking is impaired. Her memory is not as sharp as once it was, but we are thankful, and God's mercy has been there. I would say that there is one time, perhaps because of the closeness, that I was persistent in my prayer life, and it is a way that God handled me. Now I wrestle with God in my prayers about my Lutheran church. I love that church and have served it as one of its ordained pastors for 59 years. This church has given me marvelous opportunities to share the gospel with a lot of people. Now it is my personal feeling, that it is moving too far from the Word of God. Too often we are letting culture shape our interpretations of the Bible in that church. Our seminaries are expounding teachings which would have been strongly opposed 50 years ago. Our text today speaks to me. An 83-year-old man receives an understanding smile, but is told by those younger that it is a new day and everything changes. How true that is, but God's word does not change. And so I ask God, "What shall I do for my church?" And I hear him say, "Love your church. Correct it in love where you have a voice. But above all, be persistent in prayer for the church. Never, never give up." And that's the word of the Lord for us today. Keep on praying. Pray persistently. God is listening, though we may never have the answer. Amen.
In seasons of
God in heaven, we thank you that you have told us to come. We know how easily it is for us to battle Satan when he can ask the question, what good does it do to come? When was your prayers answered last? Oh God, we pray that you will take our minds and cause us to think back over the years and see how you have never let us down. Sometimes that which we prayed for was not according to your will, and so you vetoed it, and we thank you for it. Sometimes what we prayed for, O God, was purely selfish, and you said, don't just use my prayer. Get outside of yourself. But always you have been willing to say, come back again and again. Be persistent in your prayer. And so we pray that wherever the listener hears you this day, grant that he may never give up. We pray for those who are sick. We pray for those who stand beside the beds of loved ones who perhaps are not long for this world. Give them comfort. We pray for those whose children or other members of the family have gone astray, and they long for their salvation. God, may they not be weary in their well-doing, but lift their voices and thank you that you have said, persistently pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray your heart has been touched by the grace of God that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christian Crusaders has been blessed with gifts from those who believe strongly in our mission and have included this ministry in their estate planning. These resources have made it possible for Christian Crusaders to continue broadcasting biblical truth for the past 71 years on the radio and now worldwide on shortwave radio and the internet. Please consider a final gift to Christian Crusaders as a part of your estate planning. We thank each of you for your gifts and prayers. Cassette tape, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift to help cover production and mailing costs is appreciated. We are also offering a special DVD series of 5 sermons titled Basic Biblical Truths by Reverend Larson for a suggested donation of $10 per program. Send your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. In the Waterloo-Cedar Falls, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 71st year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.